Welcome to the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
I thought I was going to do it.
Surprise.
Go ahead.
So welcome. It's the Bible Talks.
Yeah, if you're interested in theology but don't consider yourself a theologian, this is the show for you.
We're Josh and Heather Tice, and we minister to and lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas.
We always begin with a little fun, so Heather, let's get right into it.
Okay. Episode 21,
we've arrived.
Embrace yourselves. This one is all about marriage.
Relationships. Maybe you're in a situation right now where you are dating someone, you're looking to get married, you're in a marriage, and you're wondering why, or you're just wondering what to do next in this relationship. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about relationship.
Whoa. No what? Spoilers.
Oh, okay, sorry. So... We're going
to
get to it, but
before
we do...
Before you find out all that goodness.
Okay, before we do, we've got a little fun.
Okay, we do start with a fun question, and I hope you, our listeners, are ready to answer this as well.
Yep.
Here it is, Josh. If you could be a contestant on a reality show, which show would it be?
Huh. Contestant on a reality show, which one would it be? I would say The Amazing Race, and I would race around the world, and I would win $1 million. And I'd try to find somebody who would go with me. What?
I don't even know what to say to that.
Do you have an?
No, that was my answer. First of all, so I would totally go on Amazing Race.
Don't We've jump on my bandwagon.
No, that's we don't always. I don't always watch it. You watch it more faithfully than I do.
Wow.
But I love the idea of traveling around the world. That would be something. We've actually talked about doing it.
Yes.
We just realized we can't be gone that long from our church. We can't be gone that long from our kids.
If the show is still going in 10 years when our children are up and out.
But then we'll be the old people, and they always get out like within the
first
two
rounds.
They always say the same thing. We're going to be different, and they never are.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The young people. Yeah, we're passing our prime right now, Heather.
I know. This is a chance where we could win it all, but we can't be gone that long. The other thing,
what does it gain a man to win The Amazing Race and lose his own children?
I think if we submitted our applications,
yes,
we would stand a very good chance.
Right, because we're attractive.
That's not what I was going to say. Because I don't think they've ever had a pastor and pastor's wife and from Las Vegas, so that's kind of kitschy.
That's kind of cool.
You know, from Sin City and stuff.
And we sparkle.
I don't know. They would always
we
be
sparkle.
Looking, but we've talked about this. There would be two problems. One, they would always be looking for us to fight. And we would not disappoint.
Oh, we would totally lose our
No, we don't fight much.
Testimony.
And this is interesting that this is coming up since we're going to be talking about marriage. We really don't fight as much now.
No.
But when we are short on
when
sleep, we do
stressed,
get grumpy. And we are like...
And we snipe at each other.
Yeah. We're like, maybe we should stop now talking.
Right.
And so there would be whole moments of silence in the cars we're driving from one place.
No, and they would definitely edit and find the worst things
that I could say.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we thought about that would really sabotage us, and the reason that if we were on that show, which I think they would pick us, the reason that if we were on that show, we'd be in trouble is because a lot of times they give people theme music. Like, two of the best ones were the Cowboys.
Right. And
they were
like,
called the Cowboys.
Cowboys are in town.
It was better than that. I wasn't irritated by that.
You just gave me a look like I'm a weirdo.
Well, I like the Cowboy theme song, but what you just did was not that.
It was not
their theme song. But it was fun.
Okay.
And so, you know.
What?
If you and I were on there.
Yeah.
That they would choose something terrible like the Hallelujah chorus.
Right. Every time
we would come on.
They'd be like, Hallelujah. Yeah,
and everybody would hate
exactly
us. They'd be like, oh, and it would be because of the theme music, not anything that we did to ourselves in that instance.
Right, so I'm already mad at the editors at CBS.
Yeah, how
and
dare they?
And they don't even know who we are.
How dare they?
How dare you put us into a box and make it all about our faith? All right, that's all I have to say.
No, it's not about our faith. I don't mind them. They can even have Christian music.
Right.
But they would choose, of all things, something like the Hallelujah chorus that would irritate
right.
majority of people watching
well,
the show.
Well, if they're not going to choose that, what are they going to do? How firm a foundation is angel. Like, that
doesn't
work.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
I don't know.
Marching as to Spain.
Yeah, as to Spain. I don't know.
Like, if that was the next
I just think we would be in big trouble. So it's probably a good thing that we don't have the opportunity to submit our application. But if you're a producer listening from CBS and there's a way that you would like to choose us and we can bring our kids or something.
And
you
if you're not a producer from CBS listening, but you're Prince Kate Middleton, Princess Kate Middleton, and
Duchess.
You're still,
she's a Duchess.
You're still
oh,
listening to this because clearly you are one of our several hundred listeners. Could you pass it on to a CBS person that you know?
That's you. Markle. Meghan Markle knows CBS. So Markle. Anyway, all right.
Who is Markle?
She's the one marrying Harry. How do you not know this?
I don't know.
Oh,
Harry Potter?
No.
I can't keep up with all
Prince
these British
Harry,
people.
William's younger brother, is getting married.
Oh, that's
to an American.
Right.
She's an actress.
That's the poster you have in our room.
I do not have a poster because I'm a fan of Duchess Kate. I'm Team Kate.
What are we talking about today?
Not, I don't know, because now I've got to talk about the royal family.
We've already did that in a previous episode. And
I haven't
got
talked about Meghan Markle. And no offense, Meghan, but I'm not a fan. I mean, I had nothing against you, but Team Kate all the way. Okay.
All right.
So what are we talking about today?
Okay, so today we have a practical discussion about biblical principles on marriage. And so this Bible talk is really about marriage, relationship. And you have a few few opening remarks.
Are we qualified?
We've been married for 34 years. This June. Is it 34? How many years?
I don't know. I always make that joke when I teach at marriage conferences.
Right.
I double up.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Did
you
I double?
Do that?
Oh, 17. Yeah. We've been married for 17. No, I don't. I just, the number 34. We've been married
for... Yeah, because it's 17 for 17. You, 17 for me. That's the whole joke. It's like, marriage is tough. You got to count it for both.
And we're so young.
Yeah. So no. 17 this June.
Yep.
Which is exciting.
Right. So I don't know if we're... Yeah. Well, look, we have the Bible,
what
so we can talk
me?
About... What am I going to get you for our wedding anniversary?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Well,
that's honesty. Lesson number one, be honest with your wife. I have not thought about what I'm getting you at all.
That's okay. I'm not big on presents.
I'll think about it a couple of days before. All right.
Okay, so this one is ministry related. And if you have ministry.
Marriage related.
This one, they're all marriage related. Let's start over. All right, so here's the thing. If you have questions about marriage that you would like to hear in an episode later on that we will do.
Right. You can email us at pastor@southernhillslv.com or
heather@southernhillslv.com. Or you can always message us at the Bible Talks on our Facebook page.
Right. Absolutely. So let's get right into it.
Okay. So the first question that was submitted was ministry related. It said, how do you make time for one another being so busy in the ministry?
How do we make time for one another? So that was a great question that came in. Well, we have this podcast that we do, and that forces us.
This is our every 3 weeks we try to get together.
By the way, you're looking good. I haven't
Thanks,
seen you for a while.
Too.
Yeah,
you look good too.
How do we make time? First of all, you schedule it and make it a priority. So what we do is we schedule. If our marriage is a relationship, we're going to schedule. And I joke about the podcast, but the fact is, one of the reasons we do it, regardless of listeners, though we value you, is because we really do like to spend time together and talk about the Bible. So we schedule that. We have family day, we have evenings that we try to keep us free and focused on family time. And then a lot of times we put the kids to bed. This is a decision
that
we decided.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, go ahead. Talk about it.
Well, I knew, first of all, you would say you're very intentional. I say you intentionally set up time for us to be together.
Right.
Whether it's, and so that's where I thought you were going to go with it. So I was going a different direction. Since you are the one that does make sure we have date nights on the calendar, you plan things.
Right.
Into your, you're a scheduler.
Yeah, let me just speak into that. So one of you, either the husband or the wife,
whoever's
will be a scheduler, and going to schedule it. And understand, when you schedule something, if you are married to somebody who's not a scheduler, they will probably push back and not be happy. So every time I tell Heather, we have a date coming up in a month or two, she always has to go through this process of, you say, that sounds terrible, but she has to get her mind around it.
And it's not that it's a bad thing. Let me explain this. Because if my husband came in tomorrow, and he knows this about me now, and told me, we just won an all-expense-paid trip for the entire family to Europe.
Right.
Everything's covered. I mean, that would be some of the best news I could get. We love travel. We want to take our family there.
But your initial emotion would be?
But my initial response is not going to be, yes, this is awesome. My initial response
it would be
is processing. It's not disappointment. You're misreading it.
No, but
it
that's what I'm saying.
It is processing.
What I'm saying is
to you appears disappointment.
Right. What I'm saying is
because I'm not jumping up and down.
If you were the scheduler.
Yes.
If you were the scheduler, you're going to perceive and read,
yes.
Oh, they're disappointed.
That's a good point.
Why? Because they're not jumping up and down. Because in their mind, they're thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to Europe. What am I going to do? July, I'm going to need this. I'm going to need that.
Yeah, do we, the kids having to miss school.
And so
do
you
have anything going on during that time? What do we have to pack?
So oftentimes I'll come to Heather with just even a date night and I'll say, hey, 3 weeks from now or 6 weeks from now, I schedule, we're going to go see the show and it's going to be you and me going to dinner. And she never responds with a big smile and a jump it up and down. It's always okay. And so what she's doing is she's categorizing in her mind what needs to take place here and here and here and here for all that to happen. So if you're the scheduler, don't let that discourage you. Schedule it and then inform your spouse and talk about that
and
specific
time.
And get
on the calendar. I teach this in premarital counseling. When you're married to a processor who needs to have time to take in that information and consider it, even if it's going to be something you need to have a conversation about, you've got to talk about, you know, something that's going on with the kids. They got in trouble at school or there's, you know, financial issues that you need to talk about. We've got to plan this out. Then give them a chance to know it's coming. Say, this Friday night, we're going to talk about finances. You know, I've got it marked out after dinner. Is that okay? Can we do that? And that gives them time to know what's coming, time to already begin thinking about, okay, what is important to me in finances? What is a priority? Or to know that date night's coming. It's on the calendar. I have time to kind of prepare and say, okay, the kids that night are going to need dinner, which honestly, you're great at taking care of that. But anything I need to consider for my schedule, I can do that. So give them time. Give them a heads notice.
Correct. Absolutely.
So that was your answer, kind of that you schedule.
Right.
And Josh does a great job with that, and I appreciate it. And by the way, by the time date night comes, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, of course.
I'm thinking about it being together and excited about the conversation that we're going to have and things like that. Even sometimes I'll do research at that point to find things to make the date even better.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I'll find something else that's going to be along the way there that we could stop by and see. For me, I would say you hit on the part that I was going to say is that I think that we use time at night to reconnect. When our kids go to bed, we go to bed pretty early. And we are very conscious of taking that time at night to snuggle in bed, to relax together with us, watching a TV show, listening to something, talking.
By 9 o'clock, we're away from the children. And this began when the children were very young.
Mm-hmm.
So we were never one of those couples. And I know that there are those couples that have the baby sleep with them, and then they're in a crib beside their bed until they're six. And
yeah,
and we always tease about that a little bit. But really, as soon as you, what we would counsel is as soon as you can get that child into another room, then get that child into the other room.
Yeah.
We've counseled with couples that really till 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, the child is still sleeping in their bedroom. Now, if you live in a one bedroom flat or studio apartment, that's the only choice, then it's understandable. Mm-hmm. But if it's not that and there's another room, then get the child away from you, because the best thing you can do for that child is let mom and dad connect. The best thing you can do for that child is allow them to think about the monster in their closet and leave you alone, because you do need to have that relationship and closeness.
I think Growing Kids God's Way teaches parents to take time. They call it couch time in that particular parenting, which focuses a lot on marriage series. They call it couch time. It's where you take a time every day where you're reconnecting. And the kids know mom and dad are on the couch. They're talking. I got to play somewhere else. I've got to do something else and not disturb them. For me and Josh, there may be times. Sometimes we'll linger after dinner. The kids will run upstairs to do whatever, homework, or because they want to go play. And we'll just sit at the table because we're tired and we'll just talk about the day. But if it doesn't happen, then that's kind of our couch time, is at night in bed. We're sitting and enjoying that time to reconnect, to talk to one another. You know, that is it. The other thing I'd say is taking days off together. Our days off change based on school year. We try to have family days, so sometimes it's Saturday. During the summer, it's often Mondays. But there are times that Josh will need an extra day because he's been working and not had a day off. Sometimes that happens in ministry. And since this was asked to me by someone else in ministry, that happens sometimes, where Saturday is supposed to be the day off, but there's a funeral, there's a wedding, there's, you know, an interview that you have to be present at, whatever, things come up. That can happen any day of the week. And so what we've tried to do is if we have to take another day, we'll swap out and have another day. And I try to intentionally take days with him as much as I can. So I work part-time at the church, and I will try to change my days out just for that. So the other thing I'd say is make ministry fun. and use ministry as an opportunity to have time together.
Right.
So when we do go and speak somewhere, we will try to go maybe
tack
a day
on another
early.
Day. Mm-hmm.
Most churches don't mind if they're booking a ticket for you to go somewhere or if you're booking your own ticket. It usually doesn't change the price too much to move it up a day or move it back a day. And then you take a little bit of time in that place to tour, find something fun to see, have a day to walk around the city, and just be together. Anything to add to that, Josh?
Nope, I totally agree.
Okay, number two. What is the best key to communication that you have learned over the years?
The best key to communication.
You had one tip to say, and I will say we have really grown. Couples ask me about this. I always encourage couples. If you don't communicate well, that's okay because communication is a learned skill.
Right.
You can learn this. We have grown a great deal over the years. In fact, we used to have quite a few arguments and fights when we first got married. We're very passionate people. But as I mentioned before, it's very rare now that we'll have a true fight. We'll disagree on a thing, but we know how to communicate well now.
Yeah, I would say probably if I was going to give one tip, and I might give a specific different tip at another time, but I would say be well rested and don't argue if you're tired.
Oh, that's a good one.
So for us, that's probably the main thing. When we're exhausted or tired, we realize this is not a good time to have this discussion.
Yeah.
So let's go. People will often say, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That means don't go to bed angry. Hey, I agree. The Bible says don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. But that doesn't mean you have to stay up till 2 o'clock hashing it out.
Yeah.
And that's where I think we've been before. And a lot of couples,
I think
let's just keep it going.
A lot of couples misunderstand that.
Right.
Is that you will stay up until this disagreement is resolved.
And sometimes
and that
you're
is
just
very
not physically,
bad counsel.
Yeah, you're physically just not able to get there.
Oh, no.
You just get more tired and more exhausted.
You can't
and so
think
it
outside
just begins
the issue.
To degenerate.
Yeah.
Oh. So what we've done is table issues and say, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. Let's just go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then what we'll do is we will talk about this in the morning. And and that's very helpful.
Yeah, if you can realize that exhaustion is not going to help you communicate well. In fact, there have been times that we've had a great day. We're not even talking about an issue. And all of a sudden, I remember this happening a few times, you can feel a fight starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've stopped ourselves. Sometimes you, sometimes me would say, wait a minute, I think we're just tired. And it sounds silly, but when we recognize that, we both say, yep, I think you're right. And
so
we hold hands and we move on.
So what would you say is the big...
For me, I would say the big one is to use questions. I'm still growing in this,
instead
I think questions are powerful. Questions instead of statements. The Lord did this all the time. It's a great counseling tool. And I also think that in marriage, too often we assume that we know what the other person's thinking and feeling. And if we use questions, we'd find out we don't. In fact, there's been studies done that more often than not, best friends and even still a high rate with married couples who've been married for a long time, when they've done studies to show what are they thinking and feeling? What is you're seeing the same images they are. What are they feeling? By what they just said, what are they feeling? And when they test it out, it's like 33% of the time they're accurate. That means well over half the time we are wrong. And if you would just ask them, so when you said that, were you saying, and reword it. I have watched my husband in a counseling scenario sit with a married couple who has been fighting for sometimes days over something. And she'll state her case, he'll state his, and my husband will look at him and say, wait a minute, Sarah, is what you're saying? And he'll reword her statement. And, you know, the guy, Joe, will be like, wait a minute. I agree with that. I have no problem with that. And if they would have just taken time to reword or to question, instead of making a statement, well, you always do this, saying, is what you're feeling this? Is what you're saying that you would be okay with the children doing this? Oh, my goodness. It opens up the doors of communication.
Yep.
It knocks down wrong assumptions, and it really shows care. So use questions.
I agree.
Okay. Number three. How do you help your spouse change?
How do you help your spouse change? Well, I would say focus primarily about on yourself changing and not changing them. So you're only responsible for yourself. You really are most responsible for what you feel, what you do, how you act. And so I think if you focus on your own self and what you have to get better in, then you can not have to worry about everybody else's business. But you say, man, there's some real areas that they need to grow in, some real areas that they need to change in. Heather, what would you say?
I would agree. I would say it's not your job, first of all. You're not the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do what he does best. Let him convict. Let him bring about the change and sanctify your spouse. I would say, well, what about I'm their friend? I am their brother or sister in Christ. I'm their partner in life. How can I be iron sharpening iron? I'd say there's a few ways. I say, first of all, pray. Really, prayer is such a powerful tool. It is the battlefield. And so many of us don't realize that. And sometimes I'll see something in Josh's life, very rarely, of course, but sometimes I'll see something because I'm so close to him where Satan is trying to get a hold on him in an area, or maybe he's got a blind spot to something. And I'll put it on my prayer list for him, not in anger, like, Lord, you better change him. In fact, a lot of times it's not even about me. It's just something that is a concern for my brother and my friend. And so I will begin praying for that. It's amazing to see God solve his heart. And by the way, I put similar issues on the prayer list for me, because I have sometimes, well, not blind spots because I can't see those or they wouldn't be blind spots, but I have issues. I say, wow, I do not have this. I am so unlike you, Lord. This is a need in my life. Will you grow this in me? So it's been amazing to me. Sometimes I've thought you've read my prayer list because I'll see the Lord working so quickly in your life, but I know you don't, because that's not the kind of person you are.
Yeah, I would say that's a step forward. And then, first of all, accepting who they are and where they're at. Like you said, prayer is a huge aspect. Then there is the aspect that one of the reasons God brought you together is to help each other progress in your Christian faith. And I think that's what Heather is saying as well, is that God has brought you together to help progress in the Christian faith, to, as the books have stated, maybe not simply to make you happy, but also to make you holy. So if you are to lovingly confront your spouse, you've done it through prayer, you've done it through time, you approach that passage that says, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. It is appropriate to at times sit down with the spouse and help them realize maybe where there is a problem. But that's not always easy to do. And that's why Heather says, first of all, begin with focusing on who you are and your position, and then also then begin praying.
And don't confront if you don't have the right to. If you've not built a relationship where you have been validating them, where you have been praising their efforts, where they know they are loved, you don't want to be the spouse that's continually bringing up the issues.
Right.
No, this is a rare thing, I think, where you're addressing an issue in love and you've put in enough positive, enough validation that you can do so.
Right.
Well,
right.
I would say one of the best ways.
If you're doing this, I guess, if you're going to stick us to a timeline, if you're doing this more than once every two or twice a year, I should say.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
If
you're sitting down your spouse twice a year saying, okay, now I need to tell you where you need to change. But where a lot of couples are is once a week they're trying to tell their spouse, you need to read your Bible more. You need to be at church more. You need to exercise more. You need to eat this. If you're doing that once a week, you're probably doing more damage. But once a year, twice a year, you're sitting down with your spouse, and after 6 months of pouring love into them and say, hey, look, I want to help you because this is hurting you. You do that once a year after a full year of pouring into that person, it may be something that is received well.
Yes,
and
I agree.
We've had moments like that.
And to kind of wrap this one up, I would say this. Something you've done very well, and that means a lot, is when you realize that growth is slow. It's a slow process. Whether it's changing eating habits, whether it is growing in your walk with God, overcoming an addiction or a sinful habit, it's baby steps. And you're going to see small victories. And that's not always as obvious to others. And it can get discouraging. So if you love your spouse and you see an area that they have a small victory, and you do this so well, honey, you praise that.
Right.
You validate. And you're not trying to get them puffed up. You're not.
Well, you praise what you want repeated.
Yes. You know it's God working in their life. But you say, you know, I saw you make that choice the other day. You turned that down. Or I saw you do this. And it meant a lot to me. And I'm so proud of you. I know that's not easy. Even though it might be easy for you. Pride might make you think, why are they struggling with this? Well, no. Bear their burden. Be humble.
Yes.
And realize that that is a big deal. And do you know what that means? When I have, and it's not even just my husband, if I have a friend who sees God working and changing me, that means so much that they will validate, and it encourages my heart to keep going.
Yeah. So what's the next question?
All right. The next one is, how do you disagree amicably?
Okay. So by the way, you've got to keep sending these questions in. These are fantastic.
Yes.
Whether about marriage or the Bible, we love discussing these. How do you disagree amicably? realizing that you're not always right. When you get to the point where you realize, I'm wrong sometimes.
Mm, yeah.
It goes a long way to say, maybe I'm wrong. I do like the modern perspective. There's not a lot of things I like in our modern culture, but one of the things that I do like in our modern culture is the willingness to be able to say, and I've seen this over and over, when people say, well, you know, in my opinion, you know, in my point of view. I think sometimes what we like to do as Christians, because we do have an absolute truth, and that is the Word of God.
Yes.
And we can go to the Bible and say, this is absolutely true. The Bible teaches absolutely the virgin birth. The Bible absolutely teaches the deity of Christ. But then we take this absolutism into every opinion, and we say, I know for certain that the only good soda pop is, you know, Barg's
Dr.
root
Pepper.
Beer or whatever. And I know it. Well, no, that's your opinion. In your opinion, you believe this to be true, and it's okay to begin that way. So you see it one way, I see it another way. And I think that plays out well. I do think if you have a hard time being told that you're wrong, you're going to have a really hard time in close relationships. And the number one relationship would be with your spouse.
Mm. So one of the things I would say is, following up on what you said, I heard the principle taught that we are made to be worshipers. And when I am a worshiper of God and I worship him as God and as creator, I see you, who has different opinions from me, different characteristics from me, as a valuable part of his creation. And all of a sudden, I can begin to view you differently. I'm going to value those differences because God made you that way. And I can recognize that God, as sovereign, brought you into my life for a reason, and that your disagreements, your differences, are going to bring balance into our family. So take children. You and I have had many disagreements on children over the years and raising children, and we talk through those things. And they can be fights, and I could get angry that you don't see my point of view. Or I could recognize that God has brought your point of view in to bring balance to an area.
Yeah.
For example, we both have different ways that we have fun with our kids.
Yeah.
And you could get frustrated with my ways, maybe celebrating holidays, doing a crazy dinner.
Every time we have a holiday, there's going to be a new, a party.
Right.
And which I would never do. So Valentine's Day, there's a party at our house. And I think, well, they're not dating anybody. What are we doing? And then, 3 weeks later, it's St. Patrick's Day. And what we need to do is we need to have a St. Patrick-themed, moment. And then it's Cinco de Mayo, and we're eating tacos. And it's
I always forget that one.
It's like, okay, why are we doing this? But then I look back, and each one of those memories are huge for our children. They love that kind of thing.
Yes.
And so you bring that balance in. So I might disagree that, oh man, why are we wasting money or time doing this? And
you bring value in a different way. You would like to have fun with the kids by planning special date nights, daddy-daughter dates, dad-son. You'll go book fun vacations. You do a lot more with vacations than I would.
Right.
Our vacations would be very different with me. But instead of rejecting those and getting angry, we've accepted each other, who God made us for. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't bring balance and say, Heather, maybe you don't need to spend that much. Could we possibly, using a question, could we possibly make a budget for that St. Patrick's Day dinner? How much are we going to spend for, costumes for Halloween or whatever? But you've done a great job with that. But when I see that we, instead of nilching the fun and fighting, and our kids, instead of having fun, having angry parents and an unstable marriage in the home, instead, they have parents who love each other, value each other, and they get double the fun.
Yeah.
How much better is that?
Yeah.
And then in areas where you can't just add it on, where you're trying to decide about an issue with them, talking it out, if you truly will listen to the other person's point of view and value them and realize that God has brought them in because there's something that your children need that person has that you don't.
Yeah.
Or something your finances or your future or even caring for your parents someday will require in that person, that they're going to bring a perspective you don't have, then it really changes everything and helps you value those differences.
No, I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think it being amicable in your disagreements, I think has so much to do with how you view yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can view yourself as somebody who is potentially wrong,
yes,
then you can discuss that. I like what There's a pastor named Tim Keller, and he says this: if your God never disagrees with you, then you might just be worshiping an idolized version of yourself.
Ooh,
and,
that's really good.
This really has to do with every relationship. If all you do is view God and men, you know, God is, I'm right there. We have the same concept constantly. No. Sometimes God's going to disagree with you, and then you're going to realize, man, I was wrong. If you can't be wrong in front of your God, and if you've never disagreed with God and changed your mind on something, you might not have a good relationship with God, and you might be so egotistical in every other relationship that your spouse is never right, your friends are never right, nobody else around you is ever right, you're never wrong, and this is why you're not close to anyone.
Yeah, a sign, I'd say, of a spiritually mature Christian is change, because Christ is changing us from our broken self into a likeness of him. And that shows, too, with learning. It's exactly what you said. We don't know everything, and we think we do at first, and we think, I would never change my views, or I'm not staying committed to God. No, actually, if you're committed to God, he's going to be revealing to you things that you thought that he said that he didn't, that were just tradition or something else.
And the same would be true of anybody that God brings into your life, right? So that would be your spouse, especially those closest to you. And your friends, and then on and on. So I definitely see that.
I think using differences to provoke you to study, not to prove them wrong, but to say, okay, maybe I do need to study this deeper. That's happened to me before. Brothers and sisters within the church will bring up something that we disagree on, and we'll talk about, and I'll state my case, I'll state theirs. We're not arguing. We're just explaining why we believe what we believe. And just recently this happened, and I thought, you know, I still know that I'm almost certain that I'm not going to be where they would stand on this issue, but I got a Bible study book that's going to deal with that issue, that's going to get me into the Word of God, because I thought, you know, I really do need to study this out more.
Yeah.
Not to prove a point to them, but for me, so that I know what God says. That should be the goal of a Christian. So it's okay to believe something different about heaven, about the tribulation with your spouse. It's okay to have a different perspective on Joab or something like that, because
to realize
they might just be right.
Yeah, just because you're a team, and just because you're married, and just because you're one on one flesh, doesn't mean that your mind is going to agree on every aspect of everything. And with that being the case, it allows for individuality in certain thoughts. So now look, when it comes to this, this is the first part of what we're calling marriage questions and answers. And we're going to do another one in a couple episodes. But we would love, if this one was helpful to you, share this with others. This was episode 21, marriage question and answers, part one.
Yeah, so we look forward to hearing more of your marriage questions and sharing that in a future episode. I've got some good ones already lined up that folks have submitted. So,
if you'd like to connect with us further, then like us on our Facebook page, The Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. Here we can interact with you, take requests for upcoming episodes, and even answer your questions.
And we want to thank you for listening and just ask you, if you did enjoy this, share this podcast so that others can also hear it. And remember, when the Bible talks,
we'd better listen.